Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. You know, scripture says, Joel 2:28, it says, "And after that, and shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." 29. "And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." Now it says it shall come to pass afterwards. Although when Peter was quoting this same scripture in the Acts of the Apostles, he said it shall come to pass in the last days. And the fact that we are actually really in the last days is, you know, everything has to be foreseen, prophetic, in this time, because that is the period for the time that we are in. It shall come to pass in the last days. Okay? "That you pour my spirit on all flesh, and people shall prophesy, shall see dreams, shall see visions." Everybody. I told you before that never, ever get to a point in your life where you don't have clear direction from God about anything. And I mean direction sometimes which is unsolicited. Sometimes it might be solicited. But just keeping your channels of communication open so that if there is anything he has to say, he says it. Because you see, people underestimate just that period, and I said this a few Fridays ago, just that short period you spend when you are disconnected and you go through a period and you come and say, "These days I dream and I don't remember." There's something wrong. It's not normal for you to dream and not remember. You see, you can think it's normal. It is not. So you have to attune yourself properly now so that you start remembering, because it's supposed to be, that is the life that you're supposed to live in these end times. Now, if you do not, I want you to know that the first thing that the enemy will do, and he has done it all along throughout the generations, is to stop your vision, to stop you from seeing things which are ahead. Because that is the point in everything. To see, for God to show you what is ahead, and you pursue it, and then you get it. And that's why he shows it to you, so that you pursue it and you get it. Now, the times in which we live. Now, the enemy always, the first point of attack is your ability to hear from God through any of these methods. It's always the first point of attack. He takes out your eyes. Literally, he takes out your eyes. Like he did to Samson. You remember Samson? Judges chapter 16. Start from verse 18. "After they had lulled him into this sense of whatever," and they start from verse 18. It says, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand." Go ahead. "Then she lulled him into sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him." Let me tell you something. You see, when you hear this story of Samson, you don't understand that sometimes it looks like he was a confused man. How can somebody ask you the secret to your strength, then you tell him, you tell the person, then the person tries to take it away, then they ask you again, then you tell them, then they try to take it away, and you know they want to take it away, but you still end up telling them the truth. You see, eh? But you see, that's because people don't understand that sometimes it can be very lonely at the top. You see, people who are up there, and they are apparently so powerful, and the whole world is, you know, those are the most lonely people. And if you don't learn how to deal with that loneliness, you become weak and you lose all the strength to do anything. And you know somebody hates you, but somehow because you like their company. Okay? Now, all the Israelites and all the other people, for them, they will only call you when the Philistines have come for them, and you come and beat the Philistines and go away. But at some stage, you know, there is a certain loneliness, a certain, which does not happen to, of course, ordinary people. Eh? It only happens to extraordinary. Okay, ordinary people can also be lonely. But there is a loneliness which is from a level, being at a level where nobody else is. Okay? And the thing is, if you do not learn how to deal with it early, Because every time you take a step forward, I'm telling you, you lose so many people. Every step you take forward, you lose so many people. And it's just the way it is. If you try to hold on to them, they will pull you back. You lose so many people. So now it gets to a point where you have nobody except a Delilah. Amen? Yeah. And that's when you become very vulnerable. So now, anyway, so this is the third time that she was asking him. And every time she called the Philistines. And because he had lied to her, he beat them away and they went. So he knew what she wanted. But still he told her. Now I want you to think beyond that. Because you see, they are so interested in... there's something, by the way, let me tell you. Anybody who has been called of God, and all of you are, you have to acknowledge that there is a uniqueness that you have which makes you different from anybody else. You will do the same thing as somebody and somehow people will magnify it. And it seems to be bigger. And it is something. And it's like a grace that goes after you and so on. But you see, at every one stage, now the devil can't beat that grace unless you give it to him. And at every one stage, he tries to be nibbing away at you and telling you, you know, stop doing this, then you get offended over this, then you get angry over this. And I meet so many such people, they get very easily offended. The other day I met one, you know, this, what is not working out, what is it? And they get offended, and then they step away from that area that made them unique. And then they become very ordinary, and that's the devil loves that. And that's where you, and now as soon as you step out of that, the next thing, they take out your eyes. Now, I know somebody who was among us. Then the person said, you know what, I was seeing nothing is working out. You know what, people are talking all these big things. None of them is coming to pass. So I became a bit disillusioned. So I left. Then I went to a Catholic church and I discovered this is what I've been looking for all along. And I just laughed and said, but the devil can make people stupid. And now you think you laugh, but you see, people, that's a progressive thing. Because you think, like, when the enemy comes to try and pull you down, that he's going to come with one trick, and if you escape it, he's going to go away. No, it's like Samson. He will start with one, then we do it. And now when I started asking this person, how did it happen? And I was just studying how the deception had been progressive. And I've seen people who are like that. There's a guy whom I know was in Sweden, who was one of the sons of Kenneth Hagin, very powerful man of faith. The next thing the man said that the Catholic novena is over the what? Catechism. Eh? Is the best book on doctrine. And like it is there lacking. So you can think that you're all that. You see, eh? You don't take things seriously in a way that you should, and you do not hold on to what you believe, and you think that your sensitivities are supposed to be taken care of and so on. So your people are, but outside of that, they are waiting for you to take out your eyes. And now, of course, there is a reason they do that. Because the only way is sure, they are sure you are not going to go back to be the other Samson, is when your eyes are out. Anyway, so then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. Go ahead. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. Can you imagine that person asked me now this question. This is somebody who was, you know, one of us. Asked me that, what is, let me try to remember how it was asked. When the angel Gabriel came, he told Mary, that blessed are you among women, and said, from this generation onwards, all women will call you blessed. So what do Barokore have against Mary? That the Catholics, you know? Now that is somebody who was a remnant, not too long ago. You see, eh? Like deception lurks very near, by the way. Now when I see people who they take certain things casually, very casually. You know, you can go, you may not go, you know what? If you feel like doing it, you don't do it. If you do what? But now I looked at this person, and this is somebody who was even prophetic. And by prophetic, I don't mean like all of us here. I mean somebody who actually really, really had a prophetic gift. So he said, how are you telling me? Since the angel said this, what's wrong with the people worshipping Mary? So I didn't even bother answering. So I just kept quiet. Now I realized the eyes had been what? Taken out. You can't see simple things. So, and I was in shock. I was in utter shock. So I asked myself, how does somebody come from this to that? And then always, you know, you see, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. You know, this person, you know, you can imagine this person did this, what? And those are such people who come like in a place like this, and they start picking issues with everybody. Not even with me, by the way. But even if you picked with me, but then you see, you found somebody here. That person is not the owner of this fellowship. But you get angry with them and you leave the fellowship. Like, how stupid can you be? At least if you leave because you got angry with me. But that's also stupid. But the other one is special kind of what? Like, the person does not even, sometimes the person is not even a minister here. It is not their fellowship. You come, you find them here. You get angry with them, you bust. That's what happens usually. And you ask people, like, they will start, you know, Nami, I didn't like this, I don't like that, I didn't like this person, what, you know, people don't know that, I don't like it. It's always that. You know, scripture says the backslider in heart is full of his own ways. Okay? Proverbs what? 14:14, I think. 14:14. Proverbs 14:14. If I remember well. The backslider in heart is full of what? Will be filled with his own ways. So everything has to be about you. Mommy, I don't like this, I don't like that. The other day when they did this and this and this. And you backslider in your heart. It might not necessarily yet be in what? Actualized here, but it's the beginning. Because you can't have a collective thing, you can't be a part of something. Everything has to be, you know, bespoke. It has to be presented according to your wants and needs. And then you actually put yourself in serious trouble. Now imagine somebody was asking me, what's wrong with people worshipping Mary? And I'm defeated. There's some questions which are too hard for me to answer. Now if a Catholic asks me that, that's okay. But somebody who might know, how did we get here? And the person is, you think what? God is only in your world. So you just let them be. Praise the Lord. But you see, we are living in a time of serious deception. Now, I will tell you what happens. When the devil takes your car, and you might even find that person is still, you know, has a covering and all that. But once he takes you out of your covering, he will come and deceive you and deceive you and deceive you and get you angry and what? Then you come out of your covering and go and stand alone. Then you'll see who the devil is. He will hammer you properly, and your eyes will be out. You'll not even be able to see that it started. When? Okay? And his strength left him. Verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Go ahead. Then the Philistine took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Eh? They have always been taking people to Gaza. Those people. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in their prison. Okay? He became a grinder in their prison. And some of you think when they say grinder, they mean he was grinding grain like shows in the movies. That's not what he was doing. Praise the Lord. You see, those people have always believed in eugenics. They want to get the seed, what makes this man special. Okay? So they wanted to get an offspring of him. So the grinding is they would bring Philistine women for him to have sex with them. So that he produces what? They produce after his kind. That's what the grinding is. You think it is? You think it is grinding? That's not what it is. That's the truth, by the way. That's the phrase which the Bible uses for that. But now this man is so amused, as if, what's your problem? This one is saying it's a nice prison. They are going to take out your eyes, you'll be there. Anyway. So, and even when they said that they called him before the lords of the Philistines, when they gathered in their temple and to worship their God and say, our God has given us victory over Samson. Then it says that they called him to come and perform. What do you think he was performing? I will leave that to your imagination. Anyway, they bound him with bronze fetters and he became a... They put out his eyes. That's the part I wanted. They put out his eyes. So now, if you ever get to a time when you go 1 week, 2 weeks without having some sort of, you know, what? Be careful. There might be someone trying to put out your eyes. Amen? And now, and once the enemy takes away that dream thing, like once he takes away the dream thing, because everything we are doing in this time, and people, the reason people get disgruntled like that is because they start believing that something big is going to come. And they start trying to build something big. But then they put a time frame on it. And they don't know that. Something great takes time to build. First of all, inside you yourself. So you have a word that maybe some vision God gave you, a word, a prophetic word and so on. And it is being hatched inside you. And you can either take it all the way to birth or you can abort it. Now, I know so many people who have aborted things. Like, I know there is more abortions in the church than there is in those states in America where they're even accepting up to 9 months. You think abortion is only out there? You see those? There's more abortions here than there would be if Kamala had won the presidency. Dreams enter, aborted. Enter, aborted. Enter, aborted. Why? For some reason. Eyes are taken out. You cannot see. You're not seeing clearly. And you don't understand that as an end time, it shall come to pass in the last days. As an end time believer, it is vitally important that at every one time, you are in the pursuit of something which God has showed you ahead. And you're going after it. And you're pursuing it. At every single time. And then you know that you're not going to abort it just because it did not come in a certain given time. So that's the thing with... because God requests us, demands of us, to take our time and look ahead and believe on something, give it time to, you know, grow and then eventually come to pass. But then we live in a time where everything is in the exact opposite. Because everything, we expect things instantly. Everything has to be instant. Okay? And a successful delivery service or any business is judged on how instant it can give results. Praise the Lord. Hey. But there's nothing that is instant that is of value. Even if you went to a very good restaurant, the food will not come as quickly as Java's. Because Java's is not what? It's not like that. Here you order and they say allow for 45 minutes. Because it might even be going to slaughter the hen. I'm joking. Everything is allowed because it's classy. Anything that is classy has to have a time frame to it. Anyway, and I said this some time ago, but I'm saying it again. Never let your eyes be taken out and you are not seeing something because you're missing something. At any stage that you're not seeing, you're missing. Number one, and also number two, don't put time frames to these things. Okay? Don't put time frames. I was reading the scripture. Because a word, the purpose of a word, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Go to King James. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Everybody has got to have one ear, whether you've been given by somebody or not. It has to be something that the Lord has showed you that you're in pursuit of. If you don't have it, you're in the wrong place. Amen? And then it says, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in the dark place. Now the purpose of a prophetic word is to take you through a dark place. Is to be the guiding light when everything around you is dark. And don't you think there's anything of value you're going to do without going through a dark place? Where the only thing you have on your side is that God spoke something to you, and Yeshua, he spoke something to you. Otherwise, everything else is pointing in the opposite direction. You're only holding on to one coward. Now, that is the point at which everything is strengthened. Just that coward word when you say, now everything around is darkness. That's what it means, that like, take it for the prophetic word, like unto a light that shines in the darkness. And there's a darkness, and it's going to come. Some of you are already in it. Okay? Many people are in it. And that's actually the purpose of all this, that you hold on to something. That is called faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You hold on to something which was spoken to you by God in a dream somewhere. Okay? And you hold on to it. And you go through a dark place. A very dark place. And it looks like there is no way that thing is going to come to pass. But you hold on to it. It says, take heed as unto a light that shines in the dark. Where everything around you is pitch dark, there is only one source of light like this, and that's a word. And that's how he compares prophecy, prophetic word. He says, until the day dawns. Now, of course, when the day dawns, then there is light everywhere. Okay? It's not just that one light. Now, that's different. Now you start seeing what it is that, you know, you've been anticipating. And now you perhaps even you see a path to it. You see the possibility of it. And you see how it is going to come about. Now the day is dawning. Okay? And then it says, and the day star arises. The other symbol says, the morning star arises in your hearts. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the process. A word, a dark place, you hang on to it, then it becomes dawn. And now you can see better. And then, you know, the morning star rises in your heart. Praise the Lord. Now, if you do not understand that it takes time and that you get disgruntled, and by the way, that is the source of so many people get angry and go away and become all this because they are these words, even nothing is happening. Yeah, you know? Amen? Even nothing is going on, even what? You know, I'm very disgruntled. What? You know, you people. Blah, blah, blah. Then you even say, the person even told me that I don't even know anybody for whom it is working. I wanted to tell them, you've not met Joseph Kableta. Before and after. Amen? Before and what? Before and after. Man, like, just because you're impatient, just because you're not willing to put in the word, the work, doesn't mean that you're going to... You see, because when people refuse to put in the work and just decide to sit back and say, you know, this was said about me and so on, then they eventually start blaming the person who said the word. Then they eventually start saying that, after all, it's not even all that. So at the beginning, you get excited. Remember the 10 spies? They go to the land flowing with milk and honey. They even come back with clusters and they're excited. So they say, is the land truly flowing? Yes, it is truly flowing with milk and honey. And everything they told us about the land is true. Yeah, but then they say, but you know, we saw the sons of Anak there, and they are giants. Then, do you know what they did afterwards? They turned around and said, the land is fake. It even consumes its inhabitants. The very people who just said the land is good. Now, that's, let me tell you, the scripture is so accurate. I wish you knew. Oh, that's exactly what happens. So you get a prophetic word, you're going to be something. Then you receive it. Then you refuse to put in the work. The scripture says a dream comes to pass through much activity. Amen? It's somewhere in Ecclesiastes, a dream comes to pass through much activity. Now you fail to put in the work to pursue that word. And then, the sons of Anak which came out and were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Go ahead. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept. No, I want to go where they now turned against the land and say now the land is even fake after all. Now the very people who had said the land is good, because they are not willing to take on the risk of going to get it. When they tell them, now you have to go and fight for it. You have to go and work for it. Do something for it. They say, it ain't all that. It's even fake and what. And they turn, and 10 men, the words of 10 men caused 3 million people to die in the wilderness. Don't play with words. I meet those people every day. Every day I meet the 10 spies. Amen? And you will meet them every day. I met some guy who told me, but me, I want to know what motivates you when you wake up to what? What motivates you? Obviously, you know this guy is not going to go anywhere. And even when he goes, he's going to put his son. Who told you? You are not going to make me die in the wilderness. You're a fool. You're stupid. I am going to go to the promised land. Because you see, there are people like that everywhere. You tell them, they will take it upon themselves to try and bring you down and what. And you see, the scripture is so accurate that all these people are very well represented in our life today. So you think you can do this? Who said I can do it? Praise the Lord. God is going to do it. But through me, because I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to die in the wilderness. But you see, I'll tell you this. If I decided that I don't want to put in the work, guess what will happen? I'll say, it's even not all that. Preaching the gospel is better. This is the higher calling. Those are the words which I hear people say. Then you know, this one is going to die in the wilderness. Amen? And it happens all the time. Okay. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in the land are men of great stature. Now they are turning against the land. And that is typical. It happens every time. And now when you get a dream, and you're not ready to put in the work, and you decide that you are going to stop somewhere because you're lazy, that's exactly what will happen to you. You start turning, after all, it's not even all that, it's too much work, it's what. Then you start saying, but what's in doing this? Why, am I not okay here? Am I what? You know, and then we bury you in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, the wilderness, I learned that the wilderness is a syllabus. There is a syllabus for the wilderness. And you do not leave the wilderness until you finish the syllabus for the wilderness. Amen? The scripture says, Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 2, that it was an 11 days journey from Horeb, the mountain of God, to the promised land. 11 days. But it took the children of Israel 40 years to cover that 11 days journey. You get it in amplified. 40 years to cover that 11 days journey. Okay? It is only 11 days journey from Horeb, Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border. That's the border of the promised land. Yet Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before crossing the border and entering Canaan, the promised land. And in any case, only 2 people entered. Out of the 3 million, only 2 entered. But 11 days journey. So you have to learn that the wilderness is a syllabus. Something which you have to learn before you cross over. And it can be something you learn in different aspects of your life. Not necessarily just one. Okay? But it all formulates around one thing, learning how to trust God. That's why he told, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, he says that when they came out of that place of Egypt, Exodus 13, 17, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war, and they return to Egypt. So God judged that these people have been slaves, they are not ready to fight. Okay? So I can't take them here, because if we take this direction, the first thing they will meet is Philistines. And then they will say, no, we had rather go back and be slaves. So God says, okay, you are not ready for that. So he took them via a long route. Now the purpose of the long route was to teach them how to trust him. So that when he says, now go, I have given you that land, they can trust that he has given them that land, and they can go and fight. Okay? He says, lest the people, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. although that was near. For God said, let's perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, you see, the thing is, there are so many people who want to say, now, you have been talking about wealth transfer from, somebody told, reminded me, been talking about wealth transfer from 2011 or something. Where is it? Where is the wealth transfer? Now, if you ask that question, you're not going to see it. For us, we move in faith. And we believe things. And we believe them until they come to pass. We are not shaken by what it is going to come to pass. It's in the scripture. There is not a single Bible prophecy that will not come to pass. If any one of them did not come to pass, God would have to get off the throne and judge himself as a liar. So it has to come to pass. The question is whether it will find you in faith. You know, that's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he indeed find faith on the earth? Because, you know, people, like when something is, people have to believe, just believe. It says that in Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Because you see, what has been attacked by all this secularism and all this reasoning and what, and you know, is faith. So something comes and it is just believe, supposed to be believed and received by faith. And it will come to pass. Okay? And you have to understand that there is the realm from which God speaks is there. And he speaks things when they have happened there. And they are a fact there. But for them to translate it to this realm of ours and we experience them, it takes time and it takes faith. Okay? Now, otherwise, if you don't have any one of those two, if you are impatient, you will abort your own baby. And people can abort babies when it is just on the brink of coming forth. And then they abort it. Because they have waited too long and then they start doubting, is this really going to come to pass and so on. And yet actually it was right there, going to come to pass. And then they abort it. It says, so the syllabus, wilderness syllabus, can be shortened, I am telling you, when you learn how to trust God. It is, the time you spend in the wilderness really is up to you. It has never been up to God. As soon as you learn how to trust him. You see, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he says that I took you, you know, you hungered the beat and taught you to hunger and thirst the beat and so on, so that you may, you know, teach you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he says, so that I might do you good in the end. Okay? Okay? So, that's the whole purpose. So, it takes you through a time of wilderness, of suffering, when the only thing you have are some words. And man, that time, that's the best time for words. By the way, let me tell you, the wilderness, God can speak. Amen? Because that's what he's giving you. That's what a friend of mine told me that God told him that now is the time when I have you. After here, you're going to get busy and you'll have no time for this. And the busy wasn't even necessarily busy in a bad way. It is you get busy doing certain things. Okay? Now, what carries you in that time is what you are doing in the wilderness. Now, when I look, for instance, at my life, in front, it's just going to be very, very, very busy. You're doing this. Not that it can never be busy enough for me not to spend a good amount of time with God. But my point is, there you'd be morning up to evening. There's nothing you have to do. When I was in the wilderness, nothing. Wake up in the morning, take a cup of coffee, and then start meditating, reading the word, doing that. Basically, there's nothing. That's when I wrote 2 books, and now tell me to write a book. And all that, because that was the time when, you know, and that's the time when actually God pumps a lot of things in you. And now when you're ready, the wilderness ends immediately. God adjudges you to have what? Passed that test. And say, now you know. When you go there, no matter how big you become, you will know the source of everything. So now he told them here, I could have taken you in this other journey. But you would see the Philistines, and then you would say, no, we are not ready for this. Let's go back to Egypt. But then, even after I had taken them for an extra 3 months, and now they reached a point where he said, now I think you are ready for war. Okay? You've seen the fire by night, you've seen the cloud by day, you've seen the manna coming every day and falling from heaven, you've seen the quails, you've seen water coming from a rock, you've seen what. So now, we have a story, a long enough story for you to trust me when I tell you now go and invade. So by my estimation, you're ready to go for war. Then he tells them, now go and spy the land. Then it turns out they were enjoying being babies because they don't want to get involved in war. Praise the Lord. And there's nothing you're going to get like on a nothing you're going to get on a plate. Nothing. I was reading the scripture and I saw when Joseph, when his brothers came and bowed down before him when they came to get grain. And the scripture says, Joseph looked at them and remembered his dreams. The man was in prison over for 15 years. Imagine. Now, at some stage you dreamt when your brothers are bowing down before you. Then you see it come to pass. Give me the scripture. I think it's Genesis 38. Then they come, then they bow down. And then suddenly, what you remember is the dream that you had when they were bowing down before you. And now here it has come to pass. But in between there and here, the things that you've been through. Now you have to be ready for that. Then Joseph remembered the dreams. Start from verse 8. So Joseph recognized his brothers. Okay, go to verse 6. Okay. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Verse 7. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? Go to verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamt about them. Good ending. But in between, he had to go to Psalms 100 and what? 5. Psalms 105. We'll come back here, but go to Psalms 105, where it talks about Joseph. Verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. Verse 17. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Go ahead. They hurt his feet with fetters. Now, of course, these are details which Genesis does not tell you. But when you are trying to sleep, when you are trying to rape your boss's wife, they don't just take you to prison and you chill there. As the boss thought it was, you see, eh? So when his wife comes and says, This Hebrew you brought here was trying to, you know, to molest me, the boss doesn't say, okay, mnange, kare go to. No, that's not how it is. So they took him there and put his feet in fetters. He was laid in irons. That's what they do to somebody who is trying to what? Molest his boss's wife. They hurt his feet with fetters, he was laid in iron. Okay, in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Now that's a very interesting saying. Until the time that his word, you have a word which is there, but until the time that it actually comes to pass, you have to hang on to the word of God, you know, be right in there, stay in the word of God. Because if you get out of the word of God, your word will not come to pass. Until the time that his word came to pass, his dream, the thing that had been said about him, until such a time as it came to pass, he had to stay within. The word of God tested him. So you keep there. Keep him there. That's how you don't abort a dream which you had. You stay within the word all the time. Because that's where faith is, in the word. So you stay around there and keep around there and stay in there. And the word, this is the word of the Lord tested him until that time. Now, I, you know, these stories in the scripture, knowing how scripture is and how I'll tell you that the Holy Spirit got all human experience, everything that humans are going to experience, and summarize it in the Bible. There is nothing you experience that is not, does not have a parallel in the scripture. It is not there. If you're walking with God, there is not a single thing you experience that has no parallel in the scripture. It is there. And I've told you that before. We meet Judas's every day. We meet Esau's every day who sell their birthright. We meet Balaam, the son of Beor, who exchanged the anointing for money and lose the anointing. We meet all these people are here every day within us. But God will just pick one story and bring it out and put it there. Esau sold his birthright. Do you know how many people have sold their birthright in all those consequent years? Billions of people. But one story captures all of them. Then, now the story of Joseph. People who have actually dreamed up big things and they came to pass. It is right there. You're falsely accused. You go to prison. Then you go there where he interpreted the dreams of those servants of Pharaoh. Because, see, I was trying to see what was. He had already been in prison for so many years. Then, and you see, when you dream, you have a clue of how your time is going to end. You have some clue about it. But you don't have any control over the time. So you know that, I from what I believe, you know, this is how it is going to happen. This is how I'm going to get this thing and so on. But then, you have no control over the time. But of course, that doesn't mean that Joseph wasn't a human. He didn't try to go to that place where he interpreted the dreams of the butler. And they start from like verse 18. Go ahead. Okay. So it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of king of Egypt offended their lord. And the king of Egypt, their lord, the king of Egypt. Go ahead. And Pharaoh was angry with these two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. And he threw them to prison. Now go ahead where he interpreted the dreams. Okay. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it had budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Okay. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. "Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler." Go ahead. "But remember me," you see, now he's trying to, I've been here now. "Remember me when you reach what? Your kingdom. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this place." Now you see, this is somebody who in his mind back, he knew that his way out is going to be make mention of me to Pharaoh and what. There is an outline, you see. It's not exactly, he's not exactly in the dark. He has a sense of my way out of here is going to be from here. I go to Pharaoh and, you know, I come out of this place. So he's trying to manage the process. Okay? The process cannot be managed. Praise the Lord. Now you see, the end of the dream, like, I wish people understood how much it takes God to prepare somebody for something like that. I see it when I read the story of Joseph, the amount of preparation that he had to go through to be king, starting from, you know, this, then he has runs with 400 men, then they become 600 men, then he goes through a very, very dark period, a very dark period when I'm sure he thought none of this thing is going to happen. I think it's all fake. Okay, maybe those thoughts creep into use at some stage. Then you even become angry. You remember when he was going to kill the children, the household of Nabal, because they had refused to give him food? A man of God, they refused to give me food, I'm going to kill all of them. You see, now that is somebody who had hit the rock bottom. And he was angry, he was unsure of himself. And God saved him. And he realized it, God saved him by sending him a lady. And the lady was a very wise lady. Because she came and stopped him and told him words which I'm sure must have been the sweetest things he had heard in a long time. Everybody knows you're going to be king. So when you become king, why do you let this thing be, you know, a bad thing on your reputation? You know, everyone knows you're fighting the wars of God. What? And even here is the food for your young men. No, it is David who wanted it, not his young men. But she had to give it to him in a way that kept his dignity. Have you ever seen somebody who gives you money and says, Amatagabana? But you're the one who is hungry. Not Havana. You're the one who needs the money and the person says, but because he wants you to retain your dignity and he sees your lips are dry and what? You know, you've probably gone a day without eating. So he gives it to you in a nice way and says, Gendo gulea matagabana. Then you say, okay. Then you find a place where they sell food. Now, by the way, I remember that there's a man of God telling a story. Like, and it really impressed me because he said that he went to a certain town to a certain place to minister. So there's this very rich man who offered to drive him around and chauffeur him throughout his time there. So he chauffeured him, and this is a very wealthy man. So at the end of his journey, when he dropped him at the airport, this man of God said, how can I thank this man? He has enough, so much money, and what, yet I had to thank him. So nonetheless, he got some money and gave him and told him that, go and buy something for your son. Then the man started crying and was very, very happy. So this man of God was confused. This is little money. Why is this rich man crying over little money? Turns out the man could not give birth. And he received that word as he's going to give birth to a son. And he gave birth to a son. So it wasn't, he was talking, it was just a matter of speech. But actually, it came with a miracle. Okay? Let's go back to where we were. But remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. And get me out of this house. Now, you see, of this, you see, all these words here are exactly what happened. This man made mention of him to who? And he went to Pharaoh and got out of this house. The thing was, the timing, not yet. Okay? Okay, go ahead. I remember I was reading a book, and I will not say that. That's whatever. For indeed I was torn away from the land of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing here that should put me in this place and dungeon. I am innocent and what? That's part of a dream coming to pass. Go ahead. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, okay, go ahead, go to verse 20. Now it came to pass on the third day, that was that Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all. I thought birthdays were a thing for these days. Come even those days, people were celebrating them. But for me, when I was growing up, people used to fast over birthdays. But these days, people fast over birthdays, even men. No, me, honestly, I don't understand that. And except, of course, if it's for ministry purposes, what, you know, and all that. But fasting over birthday, so that what? I remember my mother reminded me that I had turned 40 the day after. Said, hey, by Joseph, was it yesterday your 40th birthday? I said, hey. But anyway, it seems they got it from Pharaoh. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Go ahead. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Go ahead. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Typical. Now, you can't manage the process. Now, imagine, after that, you say, but that guy, can you imagine what? It came to pass after the end of 2 full years. Another 2 years in prison. But now somebody waiting. I've even got a prophetic word the other day. It has, when did you get it? 3 months ago. You're a fool. At the end of 2 full years. And that's after he had been in prison already for more than 10 years. And told the guy, when you get there, make mention of me. What? When people get in their bliss, they have no time for you. And that's just the way it is, by the way. So don't blame anybody. When I read this, this man, you just forget 2 years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Okay, now the dream. Then this guy goes, you know the story. He goes and says, now I forget. Now I remember. Now, if this man had gone and remembered, Joseph would have felt that he had something to do with it coming to pass. But God had to make sure he's the one who makes it come to pass. And yet, it was going to come to pass the way he had seen this man mentioned. But in God's timing, sorry, another 2 years in prison. And you've done nothing. But then, they are sent, and their preparation, and everything, the way it happened, so fast, from 1 minute you're this, to the other minute you're the other. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you something, that you have to know that when you have, don't abort your baby by being impatient and by being docile, doing nothing about it. When you get a dream, when you get a prophetic word, you are the one supposed to make it to come to pass. I didn't mean that in the way like that, but my point is, you have a big role to play to make it what? Amen? You have a very big role to make it to come to pass. When in 2010 I got a prophetic word that said he wants to use you to awaken the church to the reality of the soon return of Jesus, those are the only words I got. Just that. But out of it, I built a ministry. We had big watchman conferences with people from all over the country. Until recently, we were on 10 radio stations across the country teaching end time. On one word. Now, if I'd done what other people do and just sit back, nothing was going to happen. I moved. I had to engage myself. That's the purpose of the word. And there was a time when I would sit and think, how am I going to awaken the church? I don't even have anything. There's no way. I have nothing. I do not have a place where I can minister. I don't have what? Nothing. But that was the light shining in the dark. In my mind, God wanted to awaken the church, and I was the person he had chosen. Now that made me feel so important. You understand? And I had to do something about it. Something had to be done, and God had chosen me, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to sit down there and fold my arms. So I started moving. Started slowly. Amen? The rest of the story, you know. Started slowly. And we are still in it, by the way. We are going to get right back into, like, pushing this entire message across the country, starting next year. Very, very seriously having conferences all over the country. Because that word is going to be on my head until the rapture. Even when I'm doing other words, that one is still there until when? It is understood. Now, if I had sat down and done nothing, nothing would have happened. Or if I had been, you see, some people come and say, you know, now I have to do this. Now even there are all these things, I'm overwhelmed, I have to do this. Take your time. These words which God gives are not, God speaks from a realm of timelessness. Amen? Even the prophetic words he gives, it's not like it has to happen tomorrow. Just keep it on you, keep it around, hanging on your head. It is a word hanging on your head, and it has to come to pass if you don't abort it. How do you abort it? By forgetting about it, like moving on, and so don't move on. Stay there. Now, at some stage, doors start opening in that direction. And then you take one step, then take a second, then take a third. Then you see it coming to building into some place. Now that's what the scripture says. Until the dawn, when now I can see. Now by the time I went and started the Watchman radio show in 2014, February, on radio, I started. Then by the time in 2015, when I had the first Watchman conference, now I was seeing light, some light, something close to what I had received. And it is going to be there. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there. Now, in 2018, the Lord said by another prophetic word that he's sending for me dreamers. Amen? That is you. Others are coming, but that is who? So you have to have something that you are pursuing that is in front of you. Like, when it comes to pass, it is when you pursued something and it comes to pass. Now, how was Joseph feeling when his brothers came and bowed down before him and he remembered the dream? In between there has been prison, what, suffering, what. But now the dream has come to pass. The brothers come and bow down before him. And he remembered the dream. Praise the Lord. Now, that is you. Those stories are not just stories. There's nothing like this. Is your our experience? You understand? You hold, get hold on to something, dream, have a dream about it, and a dream doesn't necessarily mean a dream you dream, sleep at night and dream, but it can mean that, because that's very, very important. You have a dream about it, then start pursuing it. Sometimes it might not yet be ready, time for even you to start pursuing, but when the time comes, you start seeing the outlines that now move. So you start moving one step at a time, but holding the end. That's what the scripture says, that be like God who speaks what? Who knows the end from the beginning. And that's how he is. He speaks things that are not as though they are. Romans 4:17. So you are that, but now the process has started. But he tell you the end result. This is what it is going to be. Praise the Lord. Now, while I'm pursuing this dream, the others I'm pursuing, which you know about. Amen? And I'm pursuing them. I'm not sitting down. Praise the Lord. And I will pursue them. And I'm pursuing them. And there's nothing that is going to stop me from getting there. Because the word is hanging on me like this. Amen? It is there. It's not going anywhere. Unless I abort it. And I have no, like, I don't believe in abortion. Praise the Lord. By the way, I can very easily abort it. It's very easy to abort it. You just wake up and say, but man, it's too much. Man. Huh? There are people who can, oh, man, leave me. I don't want these things. What? Those people, when they see. Also, me, I know very well that there was a time when I hardened. The first time I got, there are dreams which I've been hanging on to for 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, which I had a dream and I'm hanging on to it. Amen? Don't give up on that. That's what makes you an end time believer. That's the difference between you. You have a dream of a certain business. You have a dream of owning a certain, like, just hang on to it. Don't ever give up on it. When it comes to pass, it is sweet. When it has come to pass like that. The scripture says a desire accomplished is sweet to the what? So Proverbs what? 13:19. What does good news, as good news from a faraway country? Isn't that what Proverbs 25:25 says? I don't know why it's sticking in my head. Good news from a faraway country. What does it say? Put for me Proverbs 25:25. As cold water to a weary soul is good news from a far country. Okay. My memory is still sharp. Praise the Lord. I was just trying to zoeza my memory. Some of you memorize so many other things. Me, I'm memorizing scripture. Amen? The thing some of you memorize. Some people can sing songs. Word for word. Anyway, I'm finishing preaching now. But, praise the Lord. So, do not abort your dream. That's what you're about. That's what end time believing is about. It shall come to pass in the last days. That's your dream. Now, you dream even about size. You don't pray from where you are. Lift up your eyes. Remember when I told you that? Do what? Lift up your eyes. When you're looking for rent money, lift up your eyes to when you own an estate. By the way, that's the, if you want to live victorious, never pray from a point of ndibubi, like you're on the wall. Those prayers never work. Okay, not that they never work, I don't mean that. But they're not as effective. Amen? You don't have transport money. Lift up your eyes to when you're in that Range Rover. Now that might look stupid, but that is the way of the Lord. That is the end time way, praise the Lord. And now you'll find that transport will come immediately, but the other dream will stay there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, that is enough for today. Iman, you're still in cleaning. But it's slowed down and you're sticking there. And yet you're supposed to diversify a bit. Is it still the way it used to be?
Just grown.
Yeah, but you're also supposed to diversify a bit. Amen.
Amen.
Diversifying. That's the word I'm hearing. Even Amos.
Amen.
I know you're in electricity and what, but you're supposed to also, you know, expand in something. I don't know what. But something tells me you know. Something else which you've been planning to. You know. You know. Don't you? Okay, that's what I'm hearing. Diversify. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Clement, how are you? You got lost. How are you? Things are good. You're looking good. I can see your what? You're somewhere in the future. Sorry?
It opened up.
Things opened up.
Yeah.
That's why you got lost. You see these believers of ours now.
I was up country.
They only come here when things are tight.
I was up country.
You have country. And I'm joking. But you're looking very healthy. Something's moving. Isn't it? Okay, Rika Marazito, Shida Marazito, Shadama. Let's pray for Anne. Anne, how is she? How is Anne? Let's pray for her. You know Anne? Eh?
Yes.
Anne Kugonza, let's pray for her. She's a bit unwell. And by the way, now, these communal prayers for people who are unwell are very effective. Eh? So if there's anybody who is sick, even a relative or somebody, you can just tell us and we'll pray. Anybody else who has somebody want us to pray for, whether they are here or not? Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, who? Your auntie?
She had a kidney transplant, but she has been very sick ever since.
Yeah. Okay. So, you come and represent her here. What is she called? Okay, come, stand here, represent her. And you? Your father is?
My elder brother.
Okay, just stand here. Tell us, each of you, what it is, and we are going to all together pray for them. Stand in front there. No, actually, the other side. Your father. Okay, let's... We're actually going to who is it? Joe.
Yes.
Let's first pray for Anne and for Joe Amangole.
Yes.
Yeah, let's pray for them. Just lift up your voice. Just everybody lift up your voice and pray for them. Pray for quick recovery and speak healing upon them in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Anne before you and we lift up Joe before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, because your word has promised us that if anybody is sick, let them call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, going by that word, we believe that quick recovery for Joa Mongole, supernatural quick recovery in the name of Jesus, and for Anne, complete and total recovery and restoration to total strength in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, we lift them up before you and we thank you, Father, because your hand of healing touches them wherever they are. Your healing heart touches them and brings them out of a place of sickness, a place of weakness, in the name of Jesus, to a place of complete strength. And we speak strength. We speak strength. We speak wholeness upon them, upon Anne Kugonza, and upon Joa Mangole, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. You?
My mom.
Your mom?
Yes.
What's she called?
She's called Prosy.
Prosy. Okay. And the other name?
She's called Hassana Prosy.
Okay. You've heard the name? You can use Prosy. Now lift up your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up Prosy, Sandra's mom, in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. What's she suffering from?
Her legs.
Okay. We speak healing upon her body in the name of Jesus. And the health and wholeness upon her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that she walks out, she stands up, and she moves freely in Jesus' name, and whatever is causing that pain in the legs, we root it out from the root cause in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh.
She's called Aunt Evers.
Huh?
Aunt Evers.
Aunt Evers. Okay. Let's do it at once. Evers, who?
Joseph.
Who is he?
My father.
Your father. And you?
My auntie and my brother.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you?
My elder brother is called Mandela.
Yeah. Okay.
Nadonga Janet. My auntie.
Okay. Okay. Now, even if you've forgotten the name, just lift up their relatives, everybody. And I want you to point towards here. Everyone, just lift up the other and point towards them. And speak health and wholeness upon them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we lift up all these people who have been mentioned here. We lift them up before you in the name of Jesus. And we ask in Jesus' name for quick recovery, healing, complete healing on their bodies in the name of Jesus. And every infirmity, every spirit of infirmity, we rebuke it from their bodies in the name of Jesus. And it comes out and they are restored to full health in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because your healing power reaches out to them wherever they are in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray wherever they are in the name of Jesus and touches them, touches each and every one of these people's relatives in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because it is done, they are healed. And now they come back with a grand testimony of powerful things that your hand has done, O Lord Jesus Christ, in their lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can go and sit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you bring to life those things that had died in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. We thank you because they come alive and you breathe life into them. And now we shall take a hold of them and they shall be a part of us, and we shall wrap ourselves around that word that you have given us until we bring it to pass, until it comes to pass. Because your power is with us and you look after your word to bring it to pass. And therefore we shall stand as co-workers with you, O Lord, to bring all those dreams to pass in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.